Thank you, choir. Thank you for being here today, and we welcome all of our guests. We're so happy you've came our way. Looking forward to a great service today. And a great service is a service where God speaks to your heart. And we're praying today, as the Word of God is preached, as these hymns are saying, that your heart would be so touched and so moved, and so many guests here, friends. And I had this friend day. I didn't think any of my church family had friends, but they proved me wrong. And I'm glad you're here, and I hope you enjoy the service. I pray that you are warmly greeted already by our folk here at Tabernacle, and looking forward to a great day together. I'm going to begin our service in prayer, and while I pray, I encourage you to pray right where you're at and ask the Lord to use our time together to encourage our heart. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much, God, for your faithfulness. And God, we pray today, as the Word of God is taught, as the Word of God is preached, that our hearts would be stirred to a greater fellowship with you. Lord, if there's one here this morning that doesn't know you in the matter of salvation, God, would today be the day of salvation for them? Lord, use this time together. We'll ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, please, and take the hymnal there in front of you. Hymn 167, Joy Unspeakable. Let's do our very best this morning.
I have found the faith is all complete. He supplies everything. What I have learned at Jesus' feet, I am free and free indeed. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory.
If you know this song, if all of you want to hum it, let's sing it and lift praises to God this morning.
Thank you.
much. If you'll stand one more time while the choir makes their way down. Hymn number, I've lost my, 368 here. Hymn 368, Nothing But the Blood. Thank you so much, choir, this morning.
Here we go. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is thy flow that makes me white as snow. No other found I know. Nothing but the blood of verse 4. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is thy flow that makes me white as snow. No.
Be seated. Hmm? Clear title. Clear title. Who's talking quiet at?
Praise the Lord, church.
Amen.
Now you know it's going to be a lot noisier than this in heaven, right? Praise the Lord, church.
Amen.
Thank you. I like to have fun in church. Somebody told me one time, you ain't supposed to have fun in church. And Brother David can whip me after church if I'm out of line here. But I'm going to have fun in church because
Amen.
I had fun when I was in the world.
Amen.
I danced a little bit when I was in the world. So I'm going to dance a little bit while I'm in church. Pray a knee and a dancing foot don't go together.
Amen. What Pastor Churchill said.
Mine's still hooked, so. I'm nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof. Because every time I walk back here, this to me is holy ground.
Amen.
And you're important to me. So I want to do my best for you.
Amen.
But I want to do my best for him.
Amen. He's all that matters.
And I'm going to tell this right quick. Give me 30 seconds. I talked to my friend this morning. She's got cancer, and she said, I'll probably be going home in a few days. She said, but I got no complaints. She said, because I realize I got a home in heaven.
Amen.
I got a Savior that loves me, and I do not have to go to that awful place called hell. She said, life's been good to me, Brother Larry. She said, life's been good to me, and life's been good to us. Look at the person next to you and smile real big. Life's been good to you.
Amen.
Right. We're here in church this morning. Let's have some fun. Pray for the preacher this morning.
I've heard people talk about heaven and tell of its beauty so rare. So one day I purchased a title to a mansion in that land so fair. It's given to me without money, but it cost my dear Savior his life. He died on that cross without murmur. For me, he paid a great price. Oh, hold a clear title to a mansion that Jesus has gone to prepare. Fire cannot touch it, rust cannot harm it, and it never will need a repair. The termites can't mar its foundation, for on the rock of ages it stands. I feel that it's almost completed and ready for me to move in.
Thank the Lord for saving me. You know, there's nothing like it. I believe the older I get, the more closer I'm getting to home. I don't know my years, what's left. I know I'm up here. You know, I'm still above ground right now. But every what the Lord wants, that's exactly what I want. Because I love Him with all my heart, been saved for years, and it just gets sweeter every day. I love Him.
Heard an old story how a great king left his mighty throne and he came to earth all the way down to a lowly manger and appeared through a virgin birth. People started talking about what happened. No king had ever come that way. Even though it's an old, old story, every word's still true today. It's still true that he came that way. It's still true that he died to save. Even though it's an old, old story, He's a God that will never change.
Hallelujah, there's still
glory in every promise He proclaimed. Every word of the old, old story, it's still just as true today.
Who would ever believe that a king himself would have left his throne to die for me? Lay aside all his wealth and glory just to hang there between two thieves. Everybody watching started talking. No king had ever died that way. Even though it's an old, old story, every word's still true today.
It's still true that he came that way. It's still true that he died to save. Even though it's an old, old story, he's a God that will never change.
Hallelujah, there's still
glory in every promise he proclaimed. Every word of the old, old story, it's still just as true today. And every word of the old, old story, it's still just as true today.
Amen.
So appreciate that this morning. I want to greet you. My name is David Hodges, and I'm privileged to pastor here at the Tabernacle Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us today, I'd like you to take a moment and fill out that visitor's card and just have a record of your visit. I promise we won't call you later this week and ask about your extended car warranty or anything like that. But we just want a record of your visit and so happy that you came our way. So many people have invited family and friends, and I'm honored that you're here this morning. We hope you got a bulletin on the way in. We begin a revival services today, tonight, and then tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock, and Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock. Pastor Steve Cox will be the preacher there from Simpsonville, South Carolina, the Bible Baptist Church. I want you to do your very best to make a special effort to come out over these next several days and support the meeting and ask God to speak to your heart, use our time together. So many good things going on. I want to say thank you to all those that went soul winning, visiting with us yesterday. We had a great crowd out and hung some door knockers, looking forward to what God will do as we continue to minister for Him. Brother Doug's going to come along and finish up our announcements, talk a little bit about Bible school. And if the men will make their way down, we'll get ready for the Sunday morning tithes and offerings. Thank you so much.
All right. Now, Pastor might have misspoke because I do work at a car lot, so I might call about your extended car. I'll try not to, though, okay? No, thank you for being here this morning. Got a couple of announcements this morning. May 19th is our graduation Sunday. I know we have a few graduates in here with us this morning. I'm going to be graduating this year. If you are a graduate or know of a graduate here, then please just let us know. So we have a record of that, and we want to make sure we just mention each and every person that's graduating. I know that is a great accomplishment. Mainly this morning, July 15th through the 18th this year, we are going to be doing a vacation Bible school. It's going to be the Jungle Journey on July 15th through the 18th. There is a insert in the bulletin. If you would like to help in any way, if it's not in the bulletin, you can find one out in the vestibule. But just fill out your name, and there are several things that you can check mark there on what way you would like to help. You don't necessarily have to teach a class. If you just want to help serve some snacks, we have a place for you. And whatever God would lay on your heart to do, please just mark that out. We'll put that all together, and you can slip it right in the Miss Renee's office there, and we'll get that all together and have a meeting here in the next week or so regarding our vacation Bible school. And I know that the Lord will use it in a mighty way. So just be in prayer about those things and the coming events here at the church. I'm going to ask Brother James Sampson if he'll ask a blessing on the offering.
Thank you, Father, for letting us come this way this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the prospect we have and, Lord, the joy we've already had hearing from you. I pray, Lord, for every heart that's here this morning, Lord, you would speak to our hearts individually and personally, Lord, to bring us to a closer walk in fellowship with you. I ask you to have your way in this offering, Lord. I pray you bless gift and giver. Lord, I pray you give us wisdom, Lord, as a congregation, Lord, to use these funds for your glory, the upbuilding of your kingdom. Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Of God. Would you stand with me one more time? We're going to sing that little chorus, There's Something About That Name. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Savior Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdom will all pass away, but there's something about that day. Thank you, be seated.
Thank you so much. If you are the inviter and you have an invitee, or however that works, I don't know the proper terminology. Patty was supposed to help me tell me what I was supposed to say this morning. But if you're our guest and one of your friends invited you on the way out this morning, we have this beautiful Tervis, this cup. It has a church information on, church logo on it. We would love for you to have one of those as a token or as a gift of you coming our way. This morning is my privilege here in just a moment to have Brother Matt Franklin preach for us. And we've been friends for many, many years. And he served there over in Bristol for several years. We did church camp and Bible school and teen activities. And a few weeks ago, we had a small fight. A few weeks ago, I found a picture when we were at that Just Jump and we were wrestling. And he may have beat me, but I'm a dirty loser. And so I drug him on the way down. I drug him on into that ball pit with me. But we have so many fond memories together. I appreciate his friendship, he and his wife, Jenny, for coming our way. And then to see some friends from Chilhowee, and I'm happy to see the teenagers and their parents, but I have several teenagers here that were in our youth group, Titus and Macy and Reagan and Ryan. And I'm kind of glad Robbie and Leanne came too. That's okay, but I'm glad to see these folk here from Virginia came down to visit with us. Our friend Brooke is going to come and sing, and I'm glad Derek's here and their family's here. Come right ahead, and as soon as she's done, Brother Matt, you'll preach, and then we're looking forward to it. We went up to the beach several times with Derek and Brooke, and our friendship was in jeopardy over a small fight over a Rook card game. How many of you have ever played Rook? And they accused me of getting a little aggressive and ugly in that card game. But I think we're still friends most of the time. Most of the time.
Thank you. shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine. Lord, you are forever mine.
Yeah, beautifully done. Awesome job. Well, if you would, take your Bibles and turn with me this morning to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 1, Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. And it's good to be with you guys. Good to be here. My first time being here. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I may have been to this church one time. And Derek, I think it was with Cody. I think Cody brought me over here because Pastor Sturgill was his great uncle. And I think we were in Knoxville, we were at Crown. Me and Derek and myself and Cody Sturgill, we were roommates in college. And I think Cody brought me over here one time. We came to a meeting or something like that when we were in college. And so I think I remember that. But I always use this excuse. I had COVID. I really did. And there's some things I still don't remember. I can't remember. But anyway, but that's okay. I don't blame it on COVID. I just blame it on getting older. But it's good to be with you guys. I want to thank Pastor David for letting me be here and being a part of this. He called me several months ago and he said, man, I'm getting ready to have a revival and want to kick it off with a friend day. And he said, man, I'd love to have you if you would be able to come. And I'm an administrative pastor at our church in Jamestown, Tennessee. All right, I was born and raised in Dixon, Tennessee, so I'm a Tennessean. All right, and over on the west side of Tennessee. And I now live in Jamestown, Tennessee. It's a little bitty Hallmark town. We have 1,800 people. We have two red lights, maybe three. I'm not sure. When there's a girls' basketball game going on in our town, the town shuts down. And we're still one of those towns where they have a homecoming parade every year for football, and everything shuts down at noon. And it's awesome. And you'd have to understand for me to say it's awesome because I was in Atlanta for 4 years, down there doing student ministry before. I came to Jamestown, so like I'm glad to be back in Tennessee in a little bitty Hallmark town, all right? And I love people. I love people. I love community. That's what drives me in ministry is being in the community. But I love being in a small town. But I want to thank Pastor David for letting me be here today. I look forward to it. Hey, listen, I'm excited about preaching to you this morning. I really am. I'm looking forward to what God has put on my heart to be able to share with you. I want to encourage you, though. I know you're going into revival. And this is kind of kicking it off, and I shared this with him last night that I'm really excited about preaching the message that God's given me tonight, too. God's given me something I want to encourage you tonight. I want you to be back. I want to share something pretty special that's been on my heart since I've known I was coming. And I don't know anybody here, really. I do. I know a lot of people today. I'll get that in just a minute. But as far as church members here, I don't really know you. And I want to share something with you tonight from my heart. So I pray you'll be back. That's not just a commercial. I really want you to be back. But I appreciate him asking me to come. And anyway, he asked me to come. And long story short, I said, yeah, man, I'll be there. I'll be glad to. And I preach out just about 3 or 4 times throughout the year. I really don't miss a lot of Sundays because I'm just dedicated to our people and our pastor and all those kind of things. And so I really don't speak out a whole lot during on Sundays. But I said, I'll be glad to. He's also a friend of our pastor's. And so I booked it, and then about 2 months later, I got a call from a guy in Georgia. He said, hey, man, will you come down and do a youth rally on April so-and-so-and-so-and-so-and-so-and-so? And I knew it was a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I said, yeah, man, I love the event. I've spoken at it before. It's a completely outreach event to public school kids, a lot of public school kids, and they call it the war. Man, it's unbelievable. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. In my mind, I already knew that, and I thought, man, I'll go. I'll do it, and I won't miss a Sunday, man. I'll do it. And I booked it. And then I went and looked at the calendar and put it in the calendar, and I realized I'm supposed to be on a date with David on Sunday. So last night, my wife and I, we got in here at 3 o'clock this morning. And so God gave us a phenomenal 3 days down there. I had 16 young people trust Christ as their Savior. It was unbelievable, man. Uh, I did student ministry for 18 years, and the last 2 years, I work with these crazy people called adults. I love students, man. I love students. I still do. I told my wife, I said, I probably will love them until I'm in my 50s, you know. I don't have to deal with them every week, every day, all that time, you know. And matter of fact, one of my best friends is here today, John Sproles, Coach Sproles. Used to be over at Tennessee High. We connected when I was in Bristol through young people and doing FCA. And I love young people. And the last 3 days, God just kind of let me just reminisce a little bit. And, man, last night, man, it was unbelievable watching God. All 16 of those that trusted Christ were personally dealt with one-on-one. And it was so awesome to see them walk the aisle. And it was awesome. And so, moving on, we're here. And if I say something that's a little unusual, just because I've got about 4 hours of sleep, but I'm going to tell you something. I think you're going to probably see it looks like I got more than 4 hours of sleep because I'm still running on all these fumes of 16 trust in Christ. So I'm pretty excited this morning. I have a lot. Being Friends Sunday here at Tabernacle, I have a lot of friends from the time that I served here in Bristol, or served there in Bristol. This is Kingsport. I'm not that confused. I have a lot of friends that are here, and I'm not going to mention each one of them by name, but you know who you are, and I want to say thank you so much for coming, and thank you for being here. It's been said years ago by someone who said that if you can count on one hand how many friends you have, you're a rich man. Well, let me just tell you, I don't have a lot of money in my wallet, but I've got a lot of friends here today, and so I'm so thankful, and I'm trying to look, see if I've seen anybody that's come in. I know some are coming tonight as well, and I'm looking forward to that. One of the guys that I work for, Brother Sam, he'll be here tonight. And I'm looking forward to seeing him. He was a huge, huge encouragement to me. There's many things that I picked up from his ministry. One being, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And another thing he used to always say to me, he'd say, Matt, people can take hard preaching. They just can't take harsh preaching. And with that being said, listen, this morning, if it sounds like it's being harsh to you, I promise you that's not my intentions. I'm going to tell you exactly what I told these teenagers as soon as I started speaking to them on Thursday night. I love you. I can say that to you, even though I don't know you. I do love you because I know the love that I have in my heart that Jesus Christ put there. And I know this, as much as I love you, and I'm going to preach with love this morning and compassion, He loves you that much more, even more. That's a Bible principle. That's a Bible promise that Jesus Christ loves you. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, man, listen, this could be your day in more ways than one. All right? And I'm so thankful to be here this morning. Let me ask you this as we start off. How many of you in here, I already heard this brother say right here, how many of you here would say by the raising of your hand, and we're putting you on the spot, so you're probably going to raise your hand anyway, even if you don't, because everybody's looking at you. But how many of you in here would say, you know what, I just enjoy life. I just enjoy life. My hand's up. I'm telling you, man, even on 4 hours of sleep, I enjoy life. All right? I enjoy life. There's a lot of reasons why I enjoy life. One being that I wake up every day, almost every day. I wake up almost every day, and I get to do what I enjoy. I go to work, and I do something that I enjoy doing almost every day. All right? But almost every day, I wake up, and I get to do something I enjoy. I wake up, and I enjoy life because I think about my family. My wife is here today. She's made this trip with me. And my mom, I called my mom this morning, was talking to her, and she had a birthday yesterday. We was talking yesterday, and she was asking me about the services last night, and I didn't want to call her at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I called her this morning, and she's like, man, I'm so glad that Jenny got to make this trip with you. And I said, well, that's part of getting old. The older you get, the older your kids get, and they don't need you anymore. Jenny and I, we have two biological kids, Jed and Callie. One's a sophomore. And the other one was a senior. He just graduated. And Jed graduated. And then we have two young ladies that we've adopted. Not officially, but they're a part of our lives. And they're both 31, Allie and Adri. We love them to death. One lives in Knoxville. Other one lives in Missouri, married to a youth pastor. And long story, I can share some other time with you. But God's just given me a great family. He's given me great friends, as I just said earlier. And so I enjoy life. But I love life most importantly, because I understand who has given me this life to enjoy. And what if I told you that there's a man in Scripture that pretty much he had great wealth. Things he wanted, he got it. This man didn't lack anything according to the world's standards. If he was alive today, he probably would be known as one of the greatest entrepreneurs that's ever lived. As I said recently, he probably would even star on Shark Tank. And we know what you watch. This man had every reason to just love life. But according to his own words, that wasn't the case. It wasn't the case. Today, I want to just take just a few minutes and I want to share with you from his own words and his own testimony about a man named Solomon. Before we dive into this chapter in this book, Ecclesiastes, and so that I scare you and so the rest of you can get up and leave, we're going to cover 12 chapters. Just kidding. We're going to get from chapter 1 to chapter 12, though, but we're going to do it pretty fast. I tell young people this, that if you listen fast, I'll preach fast, all right? I talk pretty fast. But before we dive into this, I've got to explain to you the key word that we're going to find in the book of Ecclesiastes. The key word, if you study it and you hear other writers that have studied the book of Ecclesiastes, the key word in the book of Ecclesiastes is the word vanity. You'll find it many times throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. The word vanity means this. It means to be empty or emptiness. Throughout this chapter, matter of fact, this book, within just the first three verses, he uses this word over and over again. And he says, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. Well, if you were to take that word out and use the word that is in the Hebrew for that word, it just means empty. Empty of emptiness, all is empty. And the book of Ecclesiastes deals with the topic of life. I love the book of Ecclesiastes. I love the book of James in the New Testament. They're just the same. They're similars. They're like cousins, all right? They both deal with the subject of life. But in this chapter, or in chapter number 1 and chapter number 2, we see where Solomon begins to really share his heart and pours his heart out to where he's at in this season of his life. The first thing he shows us is this when it comes to the idea of life. As he said, I tried to pursue life through labor. All right? He said, I tried to pursue life through labor. Look at chapter 1, verse number 3. It says, what profit hath man of all of his labor which he taketh under the sun? Verse number 8. And all things are full of labor, man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Verse number 9. The thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. I want to stop just a minute and say this to you before I go any farther when I talk about this subject of labor. I'm not against for people working hard. I believe a man ought to work hard. I believe a man, I share this, you know, I say it often to my son. You know, my son, he just graduated, and man, this last year has been a roller coaster for us because wanting to know what he wants to do in life. And of course, I'm in ministry, and his mom's in ministry. My dad never pushed ministry on me or my two brothers. The two out of three of us are in ministry. But my dad just said, boys, listen, God gave you two hands. Whatsoever that hand finds to do, do it with all thy might. And I've shared that with my son. And I told him, I said, Jed, I said, I want you to have the right testimony, the right character. I want you to be a hard worker. I believe you ought to work hard. But the truth of the matter is that it's important, but it's, in the end, it will not satisfy your needs. Basically, what he is saying here right here is that if all you strive for is working hard, life's still going to be empty. He said, I pursued life through labor. I pursued life through knowledge. Look in verse number 13. He says, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. The sword travail which God had given to the sons of man to be exercised with therewith. Verse 17. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. And I perceive shall this also vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom, verse 18, is much grief. And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth in what? Sorrow. He said, I tried to pursue life through knowledge. Basically, if you could sum up these verses, it's this. You can chase knowledge all you may choose, but all wisdom and all knowledge apart from God just leads to an empty life. an empty life. Solomon shares it's not just including God in your plans, but it's following God's plan that will bring peace. He pursued through labor, life through labor. He pursued life through knowledge. He pursued life through pleasure. Look in chapter 2, verse 1. I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. Man, many people would love to stop right there, man. Man, enjoy pleasure. What you doing, man? Where are you going on vacation this summer, man? Nothing wrong with it. All right. I might take one myself. All right. But I don't look at my calendar just to live for vacation. There's people that do. There's people that do. But he said, hey, man, he said, chase pleasure. But look what he says with his own words at the end of that. Look what he says in verse 1. And behold, this also is vanity. It's empty. If all you do is chase pleasure, you're going to chase, and at the end of it, guess what you're going to do? You're going to find life is empty. It's empty. Look at verse number 11. Then I looked on all the works of my hands and wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was, man, I wish I could have said I wrote all this. It's pretty nice, man. I told you he was wise. He was wealthy. Smart man. But here's the key. Out of all this we've already said, we can give an invitation right now. Because from a man's point of view and a man's testimony, a man just like you and I, we can give an invitation right now, according to this man's testimony, and say, you know what? I need to examine my own life. What am I chasing? Just like this man right here, man, I thought to myself as I was sitting there, I'm thinking, man, does this man know what I'm going to preach on this morning? Talking about the friend he just called this morning who's dying with cancer. At the end, look, man, I'll say this here in just a few minutes. There is not one single person in here that you know your time frame in life. Not one. Naturally speaking. There's not one person in here. Probably some of the saddest words that are penned in the Bible was penned by this man. We ain't even got to him yet. Look at verse number 17. Therefore, I hated life. My wife and I had our first 10 years of ministry. We had the opportunity to work with troubled teenagers. ...13 to 18-year-olds. And I grew up pretty sheltered in my life, to be honest with you. My dad's been pastoring for over 40 years. I'm a PK. And my mom and dad, they sheltered me pretty good. I'm thankful for it. 45 years later, I'm all right with it. It helped me. And when I became the assistant director, then eventually became the director of the Girls Academy, where we worked at, I witnessed things that I never dreamed in my life. Things I saw in movies, things I seen on TV. And to look at young ladies eyeball to eyeball and just say, you know, my dad mistreated me. My mom and dad, they don't care. I watched one situation where a mom and dad had brought their daughter to us. The daughter was sitting in between them. Mom and dad were in the process of being separated. And this dad was trying to think he was doing the right thing by bringing his daughter and being a part of this process. And really, to be honest with you, he was just wanting to get rid of her so he could go and carry on with this new life he had with this other lady. And she knew that. She was 16 years old. Hey, let me tell you something. Some of the smartest people we don't give credit for in this world are young people. They can read right through us sometimes. I will say there's wisdom in age, and I agree. I said some of the things they say are smart, okay? I'll reiterate that. Not every time. They can read right through you. This dad put his arm around his daughter. And he said something along these lines, like, the reason I brought you was to get you help. And she turned around and smacked him right across the face and said, quit lying to him. I was like, first of all, I was like, ooh. I've never seen that in my life before. You know? But I saw several different situations in those years that we spent there. And there was a couple instances where girls would come in and, man, they were just cut up, shredded to pieces because they hated themselves. They hated life. And I would always step back and say, okay, I need to get help. And we had a professional counselor that I dealt with, a Christian counselor. But I've seen it with my own eyes. Maybe you have too. Maybe you're sitting here this morning. You've never shared your story. We're all individuals overall. There's families in here together. There's spouses and husbands. But we're all individually, first and foremost, in here. Maybe you've had some of those same thoughts. I just hate life. It's a sad place to be. I can't imagine. I've personally never been there. I've been down and out. I've been tested, trials. But I've never been a place in my life where I could just come out and tell you that I've hated life. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that. But here's a man that's very wise and wealthy. Man, had it pretty much in the world standards. He had anything he wanted. But he said, I hate life. Over the next 9 chapters, Solomon's perspective, it goes from an earthly perspective to a heavenly perspective. And he shares with us by penning some special words. And I love the way that God orchestrates all of this. And his perspective, it changes. I want you to look with me in chapter number 12. Flip over a couple pages to Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. I want to give you some finishing comments that he leaves with us at the end of this book. I want to give you some finishing comments that he gives us on how we can enjoy life. Number one is this. Solomon, first, he presents us with this truth. He presents us with this truth. Verse number one. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. I love that. He takes us right back to the beginning where it all started. He said, remember now thy creator. Man, I'm so thankful for my Creator. I remember as a young child, I told you I grew up in church. I'm so thankful that as a young child, someone started in Sunday school years ago when I was just a small child, someone began to tell me about who God was and that He was my Creator. That's where it all started. That's where it all started. I'm glad that's not where it all ended. God, not only did He create us, but He created us not to just be our Creator, but He created us to have a relationship with us, to be our Savior. I'm so thankful, though, that as a child, as a young child, as a youth, someone took the time to share with me that He was my Creator. That's where it all started. I stand before you this morning to tell you that as a child, I first was introduced to God as my Creator, but as I got older, someone shared with me that I was a sinner in need of a Savior, and that God sent His Son to pay for that sin debt. And He's not just my Creator today, but He's my Savior. As a 9-year-old boy, on a Sunday night, April the 13th, 1988, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm thankful to share this morning that as a youth, my life, did I understand it all? No. No, I didn't. But I understood that I was a sinner in need of a Savior. This morning, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, that's what you got to understand. You have to humble yourself and understand. And listen, you might be, I was worried about this when I saw this today, because I don't stand still. It's not just because I got 4 hours of sleep. I'm just going to tell you, I'm just this way. I'm 80-something, whatever. When I was 9 years old, they didn't know what that was, all right? I'm so thankful today that my testimony as a youth, I came to know Christ. And I say this carefully because in a room this size and on a day like Friend Day, there might be adults here that you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And can I say something to you? That's okay. God's given you another chance. I'm going to share with you at the very end of this message, I'm going to share you a story about a 45-year-old lady that came to know Christ, who had heard about Christ, heard about her Creator, but didn't come to know Christ until she was 45 years old. But the Bible says here, Solomon says, hey, listen, if I can give a warning to you, it's this. Remember now thy Creator. Maybe you know a lot about God. Maybe you know a lot about the Bible. Maybe you know of Him as a Creator. But maybe this morning you don't know Him as your Savior. That's what matters most. I'm sorry y'all are getting this because, I mean, making little comments like that, little lines like that, my mind was racing really bad to these young people over the last 3 days. They just didn't raise their hand in a seat. And listen, people do invitations differently. I do them. You know, everybody has, as a pastor, as a preacher, you have the opportunity as a speaker to do it the way you want to do it. I like to acknowledge people and ask them to come forward. That's just the way I like to do it. I love them to take that boldness, that step. And man, over the last several days, just watching those 16 young people, this little girl, two nights ago, came up to me. And after the service was over, and she came over, my wife and I were standing there talking to some people, and she came right in between us, and she's like, Pastor Matt? I said, yeah. And I don't know anybody down there. And she's like, Pastor Matt? She goes, my name is Nariah. I said, Mariah? Nice to meet you. She said, no, not with an M, an N. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I said, nice to meet you, Nariah. She goes, Pastor Matt, I just want you to know I got saved tonight. She said, I came Thursday night, and when you gave the invitation to come forward, she said, I took one step, and then I took another step back and went back to my seat. She said, I thought if I come one more night, I'm going to do it. And I said, was God speaking to your heart? She goes, yes, sir. And she said, I came tonight. And she said, when you gave the invitation, and I did it unusual, I told the young people, I said, here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to go, and we're going to go to the back of the auditorium. I'm going to pray. We're going to start this invitation. I gave the invitation, and as I was praying, I went to the back. I said, meet me in the back. And they just, the young people that came out, they would just come to the back, and they would meet me in the back. And then we would go one-on-one with personal workers. She said, when I saw you walking, she said, I thought this is my chance. And she stepped out and she came to the back and someone took the time. And she said, but I need to ask you one other thing. I said, all right. She said, will you pray for me? She said, I've got some things going on in my life. I said, how old are you, Nariah? She said, I'm just 12. But you know what? I'm so thankful that Nariah moved from just knowing about God to now knowing her as her personal Savior. Last night at the end of the service, she came up and they're having another big special event this coming Wednesday night to cap off the whole thing. And she came up to me and she said, Pastor Matt, she goes, are you coming back Wednesday night? And I said, no. I said, I'm just here for the 3 days. And she's like, oh man, I was hoping to see you next week. My wife and I, we took a picture with her and we prayed all the way. We prayed back to the place where we were staying and Thursday night to Friday morning, man, God just began to break my heart. Or Friday night, excuse me. God break my heart. And I just prayed for that young lady over and over again. I'm so thankful that God gave Nariah a chance in her youth to know Him. Hey, listen. You may be a lot older than Nariah this morning, but can I say something to you? God intends to be more than just your Creator. He wants to be your Savior. He presents us with this truth, Solomon does. All right? You can see a change in attitude here. Number two. Not only did Solomon present us with this truth, but number two, Solomon says there's a progression to life. Over the next three or four verses 3 through 6, we see where Solomon spells it out for us. And this is kind of a humorous text. I won't take the time to read it, but he begins to tell us, he says, listen, man, I think it's kind of interesting how that the Lord used Solomon to write this, because he says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. But here's what's cool about this is that, seriously, he begins to talk about the progression of life. He says, man, you're only going to get older. Things are going to happen. Your hands, you're going to start trembling. Your teeth, see ya. All right? Your hair begins to turn colors. Your legs, you can't stand as sturdy. Can't get up and down like you used to. He says this, and I think it's so interesting how he writes it and he warns us. He says, remember now thy Creator, because guess what? There's a progression to life. As I said earlier, there's no certain timeline in your life, and there's no way that you can predict what that timeline is in your life. Excuse me. And he says, there's a progression to life. You know, there comes a moment when we all must realize that life is short. And in the end, the only thing that really counts is not how others see us, but how God sees us. Solomon presents us with this truth. Remember, say it with me, now. Let's do it again. Remember, oh, look, you've got 8 hours of sleep. Remember,
now.
Awesome. And then he gives us this progression to life. But then there's a third thing. Solomon says this in verse number 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. So he says, remember now thy Creator. Why? Because then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. It's pretty neat how that cross-references back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. The Lord formed man from the dust of the earth. Solomon says this, that man, ready? You're just going to go back from where you came. So therefore, remember now, because then's coming. Solomon says it's pretty plain tonight, from verse 1 to verse number 7. You want to enjoy life? Live your life now. For then. I think he learned a few things. I think he realized it's not all about striving for careers, plans, pleasure, wisdom. Two weeks ago, 2017, let me just say it that way. I was introduced to two friends. Friend Sunday, I thought I'd use this illustration to close this out. It was the day before Easter Sunday. So that Saturday. I was sitting in my backyard in Bristol, Tennessee. I got a phone call. And on the other end was a friend to a friend. I knew these people. And the one lady said, Pastor Matt said, you got a few minutes to talk? I said, sure, absolutely. She said, no, I mean, like, can you come to the hospital? Said, my sister wants to talk to you. I said, sure. This lady, her sister, was 45 years old. And just not feeling good for a few weeks. And over a period of time, she finally, her sister persuaded her to go to the doctor and get checked out. And they found just a few weeks later that she was eat up with cancer. On this Saturday, though, the doctors had come in and ran a test and said, hey, look, you're eat up with cancer. Only option you've got is to have surgery, and we need to do it next week. Her and her sister were sitting there talking, and she looked at her sister. She said, I really want to talk to that guy that's the preacher that you and your husband are, that you and your husband are close to. She said, would you mind going to get him and let me talk with him? So they called me, and I said, yeah, I'll be right there. So I ran to Johnson City, and I go upstairs, and I walk in, and I look at this lady who's laying in the bed. I look at her. Her name's Sharon. I said, hey, Sharon. I said, how you doing? I know you just got some bad news. I said, what are you going to talk about? And she just in a gaze, just gazed at me and looked at me. She said, I really don't know how to say it. She said, but I'm scared. Oh, well, I would be too. And I said, Sharon, I said, did you want me to come to talk to you about the Lord?
She said, I did. I did. And I said, Sharon, I said, if something happens to you between now and the surgery, during the surgery, do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you would go to meet Jesus? She said, no. I said, do you realize tomorrow is Easter? And the reason we celebrate Easter is for this very reason. Jesus loved us just the way we are. Now, he wants to see us change, but he loves us just the way we are, just sinners. I said, there's no difference between when I got saved and me explaining to you today how to be saved. I said, we're all sinners. And she looked at me, she said, but I don't deserve it. She said, I've lived 45 years of my life the way I've wanted to live it. I said, but Sharon, I said, that's how much God loves you. He could have already taken you. Weeks ago when you thought you were sick, you didn't have to go to the doctor. You listened to your family, you went to the doctor. I said, you could have not lived here and been in this situation that you're in and even going through surgery. You could have died at home. I said, that's how much God loves you to give you another opportunity. I say it this way all the time. As long as there's breath, there's hope. You think you're here this morning just because someone invited you for friend day. Hey, I'll go a step farther. You may have been in church your whole life. Taught Sunday school. Sung in the choir. But for years, you've contemplated your own salvation. You say, you're crazy. I had a great aunt, 72 years old, who taught little kids Sunday school class. And on a Sunday night, my dad was preaching, just a regular Sunday night preaching. And after the service, she came up. She said, Randy, can I talk to you? And he said, sure, Aunt Betty. She said, can we go to your office? So he went back and thinking, man, what's up? You know, if she's sick or something. And she said that. She said, for over 30 years, I've struggled with my salvation. But as just a little girl, I prayed something, but I didn't really know. And she said, I've struggled for over 30 years with my salvation. I said, Sharon, that day, I said, would you love to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to save you? And here's what she said again. She said, I don't deserve it, but I want to. So I got there and I opened my Bible up and I showed her how she could be saved. 2 weeks later, she passed away. I stood in front of a crowd and I said, I told Sharon this the last time I visited with her before she passed. I told her and asked her for this permission that if I could share her story. And I shared the exact story I just shared with you. I've done that. My wife can tell you I've done this many times. Because you know what? There are people that are sitting here today that says this. Man, she wasted her life. She wasted her life. And I can say this to you. She did. But can I say something to you? The most important thing that happened in her life, God gave her a chance. God gave her a chance to prepare now for what was coming then. That's what kind of God we serve. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It may happen. I told you, I grew up in a pastor's home. I've been with my dad many, many, many times in similar situations, just like I was in with Sharon, and seeing people trust Christ as their Savior. You know what was amazing? I stood at that funeral and I gave that story afterwards. She was a hairstylist. Right, Ted and Brenda? She was a hairstylist. And so she knew a lot of people. Matter of fact, the lady I'm talking about was from right here in Kingsport, Tennessee. Sharon Maness. Some of you may know her. She's sister. I don't think Todd and them are here today. They were going to come over, but Todd and Tina Godsey. And but I got up, and when I finished giving the funeral, when I ended the funeral, these group of ladies, there was 8 or 10 of them that had worked with her through the years, they came up to me with a big old smile, and they said, you know what? In the last 2 weeks, she shared this exact story with us. Hey, maybe she didn't waste her life. But I know this, with her own words and her own testimony, She got it right now so that when then came, she was ready to meet God. I don't know where you're at this morning, but I know where we are at. We're here right now. And God has given you an opportunity. God's given you a special opportunity to prepare your soul and your life for the end. And it's right now. As the lady comes to the piano, if you don't mind coming to the piano and begin playing here just a minute. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Look, don't check out on God yet. Don't check out on God yet. One of the most important parts of the whole service is right now. It's right now. There's that word again. It's right now. You can sit here this morning and you can say to yourself, I've got more time. No, you don't. You don't know that. You're not guaranteed another minute, another day. As the pianist begins to play, listen to me. God has given you right now. I wonder, no one's looking but myself. I'm not going to come to you. Just like with those teenagers the last 3 days. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to walk to the back either. But listen, I wonder if there's someone here this morning before God Almighty that you would raise your hand and you'd say, "Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm ready for then when it comes in my life. If Jesus Christ were to come back, I'm not sure that I'm ready to meet Him." Just like Sharon was in that hospital room, that's kind of my testimony today. That's my story. I'm not ready for then. Would you just raise your hand right up and right back down? Just say, "Would you pray for me?" Anyone like that? Just raise it right up and back down. Anyone? I see that hand. Thank you. Anyone else? Just right up and back down. Anyone? I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to point you. I'm not going to say, "Ma'am, sir," anybody. Anyone like that? There's one that was bold enough to acknowledge that. Just like Sharon that day. Sharon could have she could have blown me off. She could have made up every excuse, but she said, "I'm not sure." Anyone else? Just raise your hand right up, right back down. Just say, "Pray for me." That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you. We're going to give you an opportunity in just a minute if you would love to come. But I'm going to pray for you. Anyone else? I see that hand. Thank you. See? Listen. God sees your heart. God knows where you're at. You can think you can hide, but down deep inside, you know you've had those thoughts. Anyone else? You say, "Would you pray for me? I'm not sure right now that I'm ready for them." Anyone? Someone else? Looking? Christians, I hope you're praying for these two individuals. God will help them. With no one else looking, I would like to ask those two people just to look up at me. I want you to know something. God loves you. God loves you. And He wants to save you. He wants you to be able to get it settled in your life. He loves you. This could be the day that changes you forever. I preached to teenagers last night and I told them this. Listen, this is the greatest decision that you'll ever make in your life. And it's worth it. It's worth it. Thank you. Dear God, Lord, I pray for these folks who raised their hand. Lord, I pray, God, that You'd give them boldness and courage to speak to someone today. Lord, I pray, God, that You'd help them in a special way. Lord, I'm so thankful that, and I love them, Lord, just the fact that they would raise their hand and acknowledge where they're at, what's going on in their mind. Lord, would You help them today and give them the courage and the boldness, Lord, to seek You first. Christians, my challenge to you today is this. Are you living now for them? You can look up here at me. Are you living now for then? Are you kind of like Solomon was in the early days? You're just seeking pleasure. Man, you're chasing dreams. You're chasing everything except for God. You're including God in your plans instead of making God the main center of your life and allowing everything else to come secondary. Here in just a minute, look, he's going to sing. Altars are open. I don't know how you do it around here, but I know this. Sometimes we just need to come and say, "God, here I am. Search me. Restore me. Give me a fresh look."
as we stand and He sings, if God's working right, look, whether it's through salvation or surrender, whatever it may be, altars are open, all right? Hey, those that raise their hands, if you'd love to come, I'm up here.
My Savior calling.
This is your opportunity.
I can hear.
I'm not going to come after
my
you.
Savior,
not going to force
calling.
It. Going to give you the opportunity.
I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow, follow me. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him all the way.
Hey, listen. Thank you so much for listening diligently today. You helped me. I'm telling you, it was like the old preacher said, man, you were like, dog, just sick me. You know, just give me more. You know, just give me more. And I appreciate you helping me today. And, man, I like to think that I'm a passionate preacher. All right? When God gives me something, man, I just go full force. And I want to encourage you. Be back tonight. I want to encourage you tonight. I promise you from my heart. When Dave asked me to come and speak the two times, God put this message on my heart. And I want to challenge you. Our church in Jamestown, the last 2 years, God has really taken us through a tough trial and through a story of a young man's life at 19 years old. And, man, I've watched God do some absolutely unbelievable things. Even though this young man is no longer alive, I've watched God use this one man's life to impact and influence so many people across this world. And never wanted to be called in ministry. His dad's a businessman. Mom's a businesswoman. And he just wanted to take a mission trip. And God used him on this mission trip to do some pretty amazing things. And it's just absolutely, absolutely changed the life of so many people. I want to share his story tonight with you, along with a passage from Mark chapter number 1. If you want to read Mark 1 tonight, you can. This afternoon, that's where we're going to be. And so I look forward to being back with you tonight.
Be dismissed here with a word of prayer, and we traditionally have an offering for our guests, but here's what I'd like to do. If you'll just go to the lobby, please, and just stand in the lobby with the plates, and on your way out, if you'll make a donation to our guests, we'll take good care of those that come our way. And Jenny, if you don't care to meet Matt over here, I want our church family to greet you guys and meet you guys, and so many guests, and there's cups there in the lobby for all those guests. And we're going to conclude the service. We're going to pray and go home. But maybe you were one that raised your hand and you have a question or a concern, something on your heart. You'd like to see myself or my wife or even Pastor Matt and Jenny, if you would see us and we could help you in any way. Brother Derek, you're here to lift your voice and dismiss us with a word of prayer. Thank you so much for worshiping with us today.